Okay, welcome to 2012 and beyond, the building of the City of Light. One second, real quick. One real quick message. The evening meal is down at the river. Thought I'd start it off with some good news. All right. All of us are pretty familiar with the energy of the 2012. It's been a big deal. We may not all understand what's going on with it, but we know something's happening. We know it's related to 2012. We know it's related to the end of an era, the end of this galactic age, the end of the calendar, the galactic calendar, so to speak. And or the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine. So there are a couple of ways that I'm going to describe this 2012 energy. First of all, what I saw with 2012 is it began in November of 2011. The energy related to 2012 that is significant to this time period, that is bringing about the changes that we're involved in, began in November of 2011. It will end in February of 2013. That's how long that energy lasts. It's not from January 1st to December 31st. It encompasses a little bit longer time. And what this energy is a kind of flipping energy. And if you think about your drive here to Mo Ranch, and I'll use Wink as an example. Wink came from Schertz. He packed his car. He drove several hours. And he came into this, he parked his car, got everything set up in his room, came over here, unlocked the door, theoretically, hypothetically, and turned on the light switch. Well, the entire time that he was leaving Schertz, packing his car, driving over here, setting things up in his room, the lights on in this room were off, it was dark in this room. The entire time he was doing that, it was dark in this room and stayed dark. It was only when after he unlocked the door and reached for that light switch, in that 1 second it took to flick that light switch, the light came on. He had made a journey, a long journey, but only in that 1 second, less than a second, did it go from darkness to light. That's one way to think about this energy. Another is, imagine a doctor and a patient in a hospital. On December 21st, the doctor will come in and tell the patient, "We got all the cancer. It's finished." Now the patient doesn't get out of bed and jump up and down and go back to work that same day. That patient will recuperate in that bed for some time. He's been dealing with illness all this time. It'll take a little while for him to recuperate. It'll take a little while for him to get home, a little bit of time to get ready to go back to work, a little bit of time to get back into his life. That's another aspect of this energy. Another one way to think of this is, as the night time passes, it's dark, and we call it night. But at some point, the sun is in a position to start lightening up the day. It's still night, but it's starting to light the sky. We see it. It's no longer midnight dark. It starts to turn light blue, slowly, gradually, and then in a twinkling of an eye, according to the weather predictors and all the scientists, sunrise happens at 7:15, and boom, there's the sun. There's still a rising process going on, so it's not full sunlight yet, but that process is happening. But right there in that moment is 7:12, whatever the sunrise is, in the same way, you know, with sunset. There's a time that's designated, and it's a specific event. So all of those examples are aspects of this time period. I started recording. I wanted to, when this event started back in the beginning of it, of the 2012 energy, I started recording all the events that I was seeing related to this. And basically what it would do, it would flip. It would flip an event. An example of this is if somebody had been ill for a long time, they would die. If somebody had been in a relationship for a long time, they'd get married. If somebody was pregnant for a while, they'd have their baby. And I was seeing these things connected to the 2012. These things happen all the time. But now I was seeing things happen related to 2012. If we had and those examples I gave you are visible examples. But here we have also somebody going along, all of a sudden they die. It didn't seem like they were sick, but something happens and they're gone. Or events like that. Let's see, I wrote some down. I was writing so many of them down that I just had to stop. There were too many. I'd write four or five in one day that I would see happening related to this. And it got to be where it was just ridiculous. You know, by the time, if I continued to write, I'd be, you know, it'd be 1,000 times. All right. List of 2012 events. My cousin Janine Gauthier dying of cancer. Surprised everybody. Came out of nowhere. My neighbor announcing her divorce on January 1st. My friend Brianna announcing her divorce. My brother Clint lost his job. Same day. All these same day. George, my friend's brother Fred is dying. Found out, you know, all these things were happening. You know, within hours of each other, I'd find out all these events. Another person moving away. Another company closed. Two companies closed that were in business for years. My friend's mother's dying. My cousin's book coming out. Another friend's book coming out. Events that have a leading up to it, but all of a sudden the light switch is turned on and it happens. My neighbor's stepdad dying. A friend quit her job. My landlord's having to move. Another book coming out. This is all within, and I've got a list of things here. Clara in breaking her hand. All of these were happening all at the same time. Within days. And it just kept on going and kept on going and kept on going. So I stopped writing them down. It was just, and I saw this continuously happen. It happens, and it's happening in every arena. And it's continuing to happen until with this kind of flipping energy. And it can sometimes flip back and forth as we can hit a light switch back and forth until it stabilizes itself. So this is the 2012 energy that we're dealing with here. And really, if you think about it, the influence coming in, if you think about the Earth's position in relation to the galaxy, it's really, that's what's happening with that on the galactic level as well. It's simply moving from one side of the balance to the other side of the balance. So that's 2012. And so with that, I want to kind of comment on what Dave, is Dave here?
He was.
There you are. Okay. What Dave had started mentioning yesterday. And I'm going to read a segment of what's printed out. And this is what I worked on this for a little while, and this is one of the things I wanted to include in here. And this is as Dave wrote it. On the previous Sunday, I had been told of an incident where a 10-year-old girl had come to her grandmother's house trembling and crying in terrible fear because she was told at school by a friend that the end of the world was coming in December. The following Tuesday, as I was driving home and pondering the above incident, I was wondering why God would allow his children to be in such a sad, fearful, and without knowledge state of what December 21st, 2012 held. If anything, it held in store, if anything. Then suddenly, out of nowhere, an inner voice spoke to me the following message. Dave, since the very beginning, I have given to every soul that is to enter the physical realm a gentle inner beckoning memory of me and my desire for them, with free will to respond to me or not. But as of the December date, that will all change. At that point in time, those souls that have continuously chosen darkness rather than search for me will enter the physical realm without that quiet inner memory of me and my desire for them. Rather, they will be granted their wish to be on their own, to do and to think whatever they wish, to be without that inner guide that you call conscience. However, those souls that have sought to hear me will be granted great and wonderful knowledge and experiences like never before in the physical realm. The spiritual principle to be applied within this new epoch of time is outlined in the parable of talents. The talents is but a parable for the real treasure, the gift of mine own spirit. And that's the significant part that I wanted to go into, because that's the part that's really people are struggling with. So, what does that mean? Okay. What we have, a couple of things here that we need to address. Number one, the phrase, since the beginning of time, since the very beginning. Very beginning is not the beginning of the human evolution in the planet. But let's go back to the... Let's look at a bigger time picture, the evolution of the Earth itself. Going back 100 million years with the Earth has been here 4 billion years. Life has been on the planet, 100 million years. And I'm picking that number
out of the air.
Okay. What's been happening with that in that life that's been on the planet for 100 million years is evolution. Evolution has been leading the force that's behind single-cell organisms developing into multi-cell organisms, developing into plants, developing into reptiles, amphibians, dinosaurs, you name it, mammals and human beings, etc., where we are today. What we have a process going on. It's 100 million years, which is a long time. And in that process, spirits that came in to experience this got trapped into thinking that the physical level of this existence is reality. And so it pulled them back over and over and over because they got trapped into all the experiences, the physical experiences, and in their own levels of consciousness. And these are not necessarily human consciousnesses, but all spirit levels of consciousness, they continued to think that that's all there was. So that's kind of a shortened version of the trapping. And it was easy for this to happen because many times these organisms would be here 1,000 years or several. It was possible for spirits to enter into the gaseous state and stay as a gas for 100,000 years, so associated, so experienced with it, that it was easy to see how they could stop remembering that they were spirit beings and started thinking, oh, I must be a gas, and I must be an organism or something along those lines. Because these are multiple year long existences, experiences. So, with that as a foundation, we have an evolutionary process going on in the planet Earth. Well, because it was an entrapment, we had to figure out a way to release that entrapment. And so, hence why Amelius came in as Adam. The human body was created with the ability to have 7 chakras. And a process was begun. Amelius came in, split into 2 souls, Adam and Eve, later to become Jesus and Mary, and went through human incarnations in order to develop and build and create the path for human escape from the physical level of existence. In essence, Amelius, Adam, Jesus, faced every human experience possible. Everything that a human experiences, Jesus faced it in his 33 lifetimes. And that the purpose of that being there being a spiritual answer to every aspect of being human. And hence, a spiritual reminder that that is our existence. Does that make sense? Are you understanding me? Okay. All right. And that's the beginning that Dave's message is referring to. In the beginning, I was a part of every human soul. And if you think about it in terms of... I'm going to add another little footnote here. 100 million years ago, the level of evolution here was, if you consider it on a chakra foundation, the first level was first chakra existence. The root level is the first level chakra existence. It was physical survival. And through evolution, organisms began to develop second chakra levels. Second chakra is connection with others. Multiple organisms started forming. Systems began. Well, third chakra evolution eventually came. So the organisms had first, second, and third chakra available to them within their bodies. Yeah, chakras. In reptiles and everything. At that same time, and eventually we now have animals that have four chakras in them. I mean, anybody who has a dog or a cat or a horse experiences the fourth chakra of that animal. Meanwhile, we've got spirits coming in during this time of Atlantis that don't have a physical body. They're activating on third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh chakras. And other chakras. They don't have first and second chakras. So a body had to be created that has all 7 chakras. So the human body was created. And it then allowed the evolutionary process to go into the deepest level of being, which is the first chakra, it allowed all those spirit entities to enter into the deepest part of physicality through the evolutionary process, which is what is ending now. This has been a journey down into the deepest vibrations, the deepest levels of physical existence. And with the human development, the development of the human body, we then had the vehicle which we could do this. We could create an open door for spirits to know the identity of spirit again. That's being caused by my hand, isn't it? Okay. Yeah. There's no such thing as being still. Oh, unless we be still. Maybe I should. All right. Are you following me so far? And I'm giving this as a kind of a background. Because this is information that really helps to understand what this means, that the message that Dave got. So we're looking at the Christ spirit, Amelius' spirit, being with every soul in the human body, because we now have seven chakras. The crown chakra being the Christ chakra is part of this. And so what's going to happen, what's happening in December 21st, 2012, as the message says, this, they will be granted their wish to be on their own. In essence, they're not necessarily going to be without God's presence. Nothing can exist without God's consciousness as part of us. I mean, what we're having here is a difference between souls who are saying yes and those souls who are saying no. And souls that have said no, 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 no for a long time. And this does not mean that in human existence souls have been saying no. It means since time began, souls have been saying no. Edgar Casey tells us that the war of angels began long before Earth ever came into existence and people started getting trapped here. The choice of having free will and saying no existed long before the Earth ever existed. That's been part of consciousness. When spirits were given independent consciousnesses and free will, that's been a part of that since then. So what we have here is souls, the pattern of souls saying no for a long, long time. And many of these souls now, as human beings, have been saying no, 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 because they have the free will to say no. While it sounds like... Yes, you have a question? Right. No. His question is, if I heard you right, those people that are coming in after December 21st, does that mean they don't have their first chakra? Is that what you're saying? Oh, they only have their first chakra. No, no. The evolutionary process, and I hope this answers your question, the evolutionary process is a gradual process. When Christ came into the planet, he took that process and more or less made it exponential instead of linear. It's kind of like taking a tuning fork, a very high tuning fork, and touching it to very low level tuning forks. That's going to raise that vibration of that tuning fork. And so with that constant touching of that lower level tuning fork, that vibration is going to keep on going higher. But without that higher tuning fork, the evolutionary process still continues for the existence of beings in the planet. There's no stopping the evolutionary process in the planet. It's simply that souls that are connecting to the Christ Spirit are able to exponentially make that exodus, I guess I'll call it. Does that make sense? And so the chakras are still going to be in place because evolution is still happening. Evolution still needs to happen. Not every being is at the level that they can make that exponential jump yet. But when they reach a certain level, that Christ Spirit is present, and they're able to make that leap. Evolution is still going to be happening. I mean, we still have life in many, many different forms on the planet. And so evolution is still going on. It's simply, we now have another method to which souls, spirits, can recognize their identity as spirit, and it is the path that Christ has taken. And this is not just the life of Jesus, to remind you. It's the evolutionary path that Jesus started at Adam and finished as Jesus. So that's the evolutionary path that souls have been going through. And that's something we're all going through too. It does the message said, does not mean that a soul does not have a connection to God. It means that the Christ Spirit is simply stepping back. If you think about it in terms of a drug addict, a family who has a drug addict in their family, maybe a child or something who has chosen drugs, may not be able to help them get out of it. They may not be able to. The person may continue to choose drugs and continue to choose the addiction rather than be a part of a family. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean drugs. It could be anything. But they continuously choose separation from the family and what feeds them rather than the family unit or love or healing. And it reaches a point where the family has to step back. Any involvement with that other person, where, and this is called tough love, is what we have as the example in our life. They have to step back. Otherwise, that person, determined to go down, will take the family with them. They have to let go. And this is what is happening in December 21st, 2012. Those who have said no, 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 Christ is simply stepping back. Not non-existing with that person. Not no longer being there. Not no longer having the crown chakra. But rather not actively influencing the person continuously, which the Christ Spirit, as we know, has continuously influenced the entire planet for 2012 years, or that about, in 2000 years, for two, you know. So, it does not mean that souls are abandoned. It does not mean that souls do not have connection to God. Even though they've said no to Christ over and over and over through millennium after millennium after millennium after millennium, maybe even before the earth, does not mean that that first time they say yes, God won't be there. It absolutely is. All they have to do is say yes. And what brings them to say yes? They're still in the evolutionary process. That evolutionary process, which brings all life through the vibrations, through an increase of level of consciousness, is still part of their existence. Which means that They're influenced by the vibrations that of the environment that they're in. It means that they're going to be facing the karmic challenges that they create. And I use karma here. I define karma as what we create for others, we create for ourselves. What we create for ourselves, we create for others. What we create for one, we create for all. That is how I define karma. It's a creation process. So, as we say no, whatever behavior and actions we bring forth from that no, whether it be violence or hatred, whether it be killing, murder, or whatever behavior for that, we're still going to be facing that as part of the evolutionary process. And in all honesty, pain and suffering is quite a teacher. If we use the gun to create experiences for others, we're creating that for ourselves. As Jesus said, he who lives by the sword will die by the sword. That is the that path. And what Christ is talking about in this message is that the healing of that karma can also go for those who choose, say yes, the healing of that karma comes through the raising of the vibration. We don't have to deal with experiencing karma if we raise the vibration. The purpose of karma, the purpose of creation, is to raise vibration. Everything, whether we are on the receiving end, whether we're on the healing end, whether we're on the even on the giving end, the purpose of all of these things is to raise our awareness, raise our vibration. And so once we do that, like the tuning fork, the high-level tuning fork touches that karmic event, that event rises in its expression. And while it might have been a massive event in the lower levels, with the higher levels, it becomes a small event. So that process, that principle is going on within the lives of those souls who say no and those souls who say yes. That the evolutionary process, facing the what they create at the level they created, for those that say no, and I'm not pointing to this group, those who say yes, and I am pointing to this group, those who say yes are who welcome in that Christ Spirit, welcome in that high tuning fork. They bypass the experience of it because it's no longer needed. Does that answer your question? Okay. Only took 15 minutes. All right. Are there any questions about this message? Does that help to understand it? It's a very complex issue. It took me an hour to work it out, to understand it. Okay, I can't. What would be different for those who say yes? Okay. You want to hear the good stuff. Okay. Like Dave's message said, the parable of the talents is a good example for this. Do we remember the story of the talents? The story of the money. The master gave four of his servants a certain amount of money. One took that amount, invested it, and made lots more. The other one took that small amount, invested it, and made a little bit more. The other one took that smaller amount and invested it, and made a little bit more. The other one buried it in the ground. And the master was very happy with the three that invested it and made more. And he said to the one that buried it, what you have What did he say? Yes. What you have buried, I will take away from you even more. To something that I... Yes. I will take what you have done nothing with and give it to the others. So he took away what he had given to that one servant. That one servant didn't put it to use. Okay. I'm not good at quoting it, but Dave is. And that is a good parable, a good example of how what the process is going to be for this. Those that are actively involved with the expression of spirit in some form, whether it's through love, whether it's through forgiveness, whether it's through talents, whether it's through sharing, whether it's through mercies, whether it's through spiritual abilities, laying on of hands, or any type of spiritual work, that will increase. That's what this means. And why will it increase? Well, because the galaxy, the universe, now supports that. We were in a downward spiral, down into the vibration, lowest vibrations of the planet, so that we could address every single factor in existence. So we could reach down to the bottom of the barrel, so that we would get everything and then start coming up. Well, that's 2012. We're reaching the bottom of the barrel. We're turning that light switch on, and it's going from dark to light. And this next process, we're coming back out now. This is the end of the decline, the beginning of the incline. Yes. Will it take the amount of time that it took to go down to come back up? No. But it will take some time. Remember the metaphor of the doctor with the cancer patient. It's going to take some time. The patient went through all these healing techniques, difficult illnesses to deal with whatever illness this patient had. The doctor said, "We got it all. Now we're coming back out. You're going to have your life back." And in essence, it's going to take a little bit of time. It's going to take some time to kind of acclimate to the fact that we're no longer going down. We now have an upward path. Evolutionary upward path. Spiritual evolutionary upward path. And the universe is supporting that. The universe, this at first, was supporting going down, 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 down. Because that's what was necessary. Do you understand? I'm sorry. Okay, does it make sense? All right. Is it making sense? Okay. let's see, what else to say about this? There's a lot to say about it. Yes, Shirley. Well, yeah, her question is, God has tried to take God out of so many things. Does that mean it's going to come back? Well, the government, I'm sorry, the government has been trying to take, what did I say, the God is trying to take, no. Okay. The government is trying to take God out of so many things. Is that going to come back? You can't legislate people's hearts. There's no such thing. You can't legislate into them. You can't legislate them out. The government really is just another being made up of souls who are trying to figure out how best to live on this planet. And what the government does has not a lot of effect, as strange as that sounds.
We still have our own minds.
Right, we have our own minds, we have our own hearts, we have our own evolution. And I'm going to be honest with you. Those of you, I know all of us are political in some form or fashion, you know. We render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. The process of rendering unto God, though, what is God's, is this new process, this new paradigm, being part of a paradigm of oneness. We are, have been, in the political arena, we can see the paradigm of duality. And we can hold on to that if we want. It will eventually go away, but not anytime soon. But the paradigm of oneness requires us to let go of the paradigm of duality. We can be strong politically and hold those beliefs, but it still will require us to recognize both the truth of both sides. Because, you know, I can have my left hand struggle against my right hand back and forth and back and forth. And to my fingers, it looks like there's a war going on. But to my single body, I recognize that they're one and connected. And both sides have value. And there is the oneness. So Republicans versus Democrats is left hand versus right hand. And right hand versus left hand. And the oneness is recognizing the value of both sides. Recognizing the value of each individual that is in a position put there by God, allowed to give, do their give their chance, do their, put forth their effort. If they believe they can help, they're going to go out there and try to get elected and try to do what they think will help. And that's the purpose of their opportunity. And I will be honest with you, a lot of you have future lives in public service. Remember what John Adams said. Either wise men will come forth or others will come forth. Yeah.
We've had a lot of others.
Well, and hence why it will call to some of you in here also. Because of the feeling of, you know, I can contribute. I can help. Somehow, some way. So we have that negative attitude towards the politicians because, you know, we think, oh, that guy is crazy. And that same thought is on both sides, pointing the finger at the other side. Beverly. Yes. You, that's your view. She says, you know the ones that saying, you know, no, like the ACLU. Go ahead, continue. Are they going to be as strong? From your perspective, the ACLU says no. But from their perspective, they say yes. Okay. What that means is that we can look at others and not see what is there. We can look at the behavior of others and see what we place upon them. See what we name that. And by no, saying no, these, remember, the ACLU is made up of people who believe that they're helping and believe in what they do. Just like on both sides of the political arena. When I talk about people who are saying no, I'm talking about definitely strong examples people who express hatred through violence. What I would consider drug cartels, whose only purpose is to drive people into the addictions for their own benefit, cause harm and suffering to others to gain from themselves. In general, that's how I define the people who say no. So the ACLU and any organization, any political organization on either side of the fence has people in it who believe in what they do and appropriately believe in what they do. It is appropriate that we have people with opposing views. It is appropriate. I mean, if we all stood in a circle here and held hands, we would all have a different view. We'd be looking in all different directions. And we'd see different things. And we have, behind us and forwards, different things. And all of them would contribute to the whole. So, as you get upset with the ACLU, remember that they are trying also, like you and I and the rest of us, to do the best we can with what we have. To our understanding, people who believe in what they're doing.
There are organizations that think oppositely of the ACLU, and if you think that way, you can support them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. There are organizations that hold every position of the circle and face every different direction. But I wouldn't necessarily call those the no-sayers. So. Yes, Dave.
Just share one thought. I asked you a question. I thought I'd share this with you. Those of you who are not Bible or not really like this, that's okay. But for those who are,
did everybody hear that? Okay. In the printout that he has, there are some references to understanding what the term the last days. And basically I'll add, we are in the times and half times now. That is now. If you haven't heard that yet, that is now. We are in the times and half times. Carol. Well, think back to that cancer patient. The day that doctor comes in and says the cancer is all gone, what's he going to do on the second day? It's not going to be looking a lot different. He's still going to be recuperating in that bed. It's going to take him a little while, but the sunshine is coming up. Remember, it's 1 minute past sunrise, and that sun is a little bit higher in the horizon. And that 1 minute later, that sun's going to be even higher. So we're going to be experiencing. Well, I enjoy when the sun comes up. Good, yeah. Yes. Well, the good Let's define what the good is. The good here we're talking about is the greater awareness and the ability, the greater choice of ability to act from that. The greater opportunities for love, the greater expressions of love, the greater support for love, the greater expressions, opportunities, and support for forgiveness, mercy, kindness, patience. Well, we're going to have plenty of opportunity for patience. And a lot of support for patience.
What event occurs on 12/21/12?
Okay.
There is a physical thing.
Yes, there is a physical thing.
That's what started.
You want to? Yes. That, do you know about the physical? Okay.
Anyway, on 12/21/12, the sun will line up with the center of the Milky Way along with the belt of Orion. That only occurs every 26,000 years. Okay, now the belt of Orion, if you go back through both Egyptian and Mayan culture, that's a significant star set, and they set many temples and things that lined up with that on the solstices, winter or summer. So there really is an event that occurs, an astrological event that on that day that physically lines up. And of course the Mayans thing was that's a portal into heaven or the further earth or the further planes of the universe, and that's why that becomes important, because you line up right to the center, and in the center of Milky Way is a kind of a black hole. So that's kind of a 5 second.
Right. Very good. That's a good explanation. There's an actual physical event going on. Yes. Every 26,000 years. 26,000 years. Now, we've been, and there's also a 52,000 year cycle that we're in process of doing as well. And if you think about where we were 52,000 years ago and 26,000 years ago, you may be able to get a sense of kind of some of the time frames that the de-evolution going on. Well, it's actually not de-evolution. The decline going into the lower levels, and where we'll be going with that in the next 26,000 years, which actually isn't that long a time, but it's going to take a little while. By the time we get home tomorrow afternoon, okay. You didn't get your answer? Okay. Ask the question again. I'm sorry. Well, it's not, except for we will have one day recognizing that we're not getting worse. We're now getting better. And the next day after that, the 23rd, we will have 2 days of in the incline, and the 24th. Oh, I'm sorry. No. The end of any good? No. Not even close. Yes, you got it. In the Bible, we there's a reference to the times and the half times. And the significance is related to the return of Christ. It doesn't necessarily mean the Christ is going to be returning now. I mean, as he said, only the Father knows. But we are in the times and half times that the Bible is referring to. I'm seeing it psychically. I'm being told that. And it makes sense. And it fits. And everything that's going on. And if you are not sure about my contribution here, then ask. Ask within.
If others are getting the same thing, how do we know that? Is there anything out there?
Well, the answer to that question.
I don't believe.
No, no, it's okay. In fact, don't take my word for it. I'm saying, ask. Ask with them. I'm saying, be a psychic. Become your own psychic. I'm saying, go into meditation or ask for a dream. Ask about, is this the times and a half times? And that's basically, you know, you don't need me. You don't need me to do this. I mean, this is available to you. Anything I'm doing, you can do. Mary Jo, and then. There will be changes in the people, and the people will change the churches. The people will change the church organizations. It will become a natural process of the people who make it up. See, there's still the evolutionary process is still going on, but it's in, for those of us who say yes, we're bringing in a lot faster, higher vibrations, and so we're in essence creating a level of vibration that is impacting the entire planet. I mean, that's been going on for quite a while. Hence, one of the reasons why Edgar Cayce's predictions didn't come as he predicted, because we took the whole of the job and took care of and did something about it. Do you understand?
Yeah.
It's going to be a reflection of the people. Right.
And I've heard a lot of rumors that this may tumble down and so
forth. Yeah, I know a little bit about that. But before we get into that, do y'all want to hear about the Pope? This is taking a little bit of a tangent from what we're doing, and I want to take some time here. Okay, real quick. The next Pope is the Pope that they're going to... that will have a little bit more of a liberal perspective. And the forces that be in the Catholic hierarchy will oppose this Pope and try to dethrone him and put somebody else in place. That's what I'm seeing.
Is he the last Pope? The next Pope's the last Pope?
That's what I'm seeing. Yeah. Because the powers that be in the Catholic Church still want to hold on to the conservative views, the traditional views, and well, it's what will happen. What I'm seeing happen is that the Catholic Church in its existence right now will split in two and become two different organizations or in some form, and. What is known as the anti-pope, which has been, there have been a number of different anti-popes, because it's not the first time a pope has been removed and somebody else chosen, not elected, but chosen by outside forces and put in place. So it's not the first time. But I see that something like that happening again. And
yeah,
yes?
I was just wondering, one of the things that this gentleman said here, I have read a little bit about the business of the magnetic forces of the Earth because of the position that we're going to be in the fire. And I was wondering if you would consider giving advice about that, or if you have anything to say about that. And it's science. We are, because the sun is, the Earth is in a rotation, and they've done some studies, scientific studies that show that the gravitation is moving in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if you're seeing any kind of...
I haven't specifically looked at that. So there's plenty of room yet to do research yet for that. So, any other quick questions? Shirley. Okay, I'll get you next.
You know me.
Yes.
Will I be able to tell a difference on the 21st?
Remember, the 21st is going to kind of look like the 20th, and the 21st will look like the 22nd. You're not going to notice 26,000 years of advancement in one day. So, the weather may be rainy. Actually, we're not going to notice it on one day. We will notice it if we look back on our lifetime, though. We will look. We will be able to tell. And those who are open to this, those who are looking for it, will see signs. I mean, I started writing down all the signs I was seeing, and there were so many that I couldn't keep up with them. I was looking for them. I saw them. Yes. Oh, wait a minute. Yes. They're part of the earth, and so there's evolution going on within that those circles as well. You know, I don't know. I can't speak about the Quran. I haven't done that much research on the Quran, but I do know that this is not just a regional experience. This is an earth-wide experience, and so we will see the same type of experiences happening in our lives. Will be happening in some other form in their lives as well. So,
I've read that souls will be ascending, but instead of dying, they will go on because in the ascension, they will have evolved.
Is that the rapture?
Yes,
it's going to be overnight.
Sure.
Day, but
absolutely.
I've read that this involves the ascension of the soul and the realization and evolution. So that it's not an ascension after death. Instead, you know, it's
correct.
Caught in this body so that you don't have to die, but you are going to be
yes.
in this body.
Yes, she's talking about the ascension, the transformation of the body instead of the death of the body as being part of it. Yes, in the next 26,000 years, we will see some of that. Yes, it is a long way. But we are, remember, this is a time period, we're still evolving on the planet. And we've still got a long ways to go. You and I may be sitting here in the ARE group and meditating, but we've still got work to do. We've still got lifetimes to live. We've still got development to grow to do. We've still got growth yet to happen. We've still got loving to do. We've still got forgiveness to happen. And as we continue to do that with the Christ Spirit being part of us, that raises the vibration of everything, and the earth comes along with us. It's kind of like a bus full of people, and Christ is the driver. We're in that bus, and he takes us to a destination, and we see that destination, and then he leaves the bus and we're back home, and we realize, well, he showed us where we're going. Now it's up to us to get back there. And then we become the bus driver for somebody, another group. And then as they make their journey back, they become bus drivers for others, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yes?
Have you ever looked at all, like what they're calling portals, like in South America, the Sacred Valley, where there's... You've got the stone wall and there's no opening there, but it looks like a door. They assume it was a portal. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't.
So I wondered if that would be opening.
The opening, well, no, I haven't. Okay. Not specifically that. The openings I work with are the ones inside of us. Yeah. So, one more statement, then I want to move on. Oh, congratulations. Wow, David and Harry's wedding anniversary on December 21st? Wow.
How many years?
Boy, if you don't belong here, I don't know who does. All right. If there's nothing else pressing, if there's kind of an understanding of this, let's move on a little bit. What I want to do now is teach you a new kind of little bit of a new type of meditation. And I call this 12 chakra meditation. So let's go ahead and close our eyes. Okay. Relax. Sit comfortably in your chair. Allow yourself to close your eyes. Take several deep breaths. Go ahead and take another deep breath. And I'll say a couple of words. God guide us in our efforts here. Continue to watch your breath. And allow the thoughts to drift away as bubbles drift away in the wind. Now in your mind's eye, become aware of the seven chakras. Hold them all together. You don't have to move them around. You don't have to do anything with them. Just be aware of them. Now in your mind's eye, allow yourself to become aware of all 12 chakras. The other five being outside your body, above you. Allow them all to be there. You don't have to understand them or connect to them. Just be aware of them, that they exist. Allow them, all 12, to guide the meditation now. Allow the 12 chakras. Observe them. You don't have to reach for them. Just let them be. Chakras. Okay, slowly come back. Allow your breath to come back into the room. You can bring that with you. Any experience you may have. When you're ready, go ahead and open your eyes. Allow your breathing to come back to normal. Okay. 12 chakra meditation is acknowledging. Can you get the lights again? 12 chakra meditation is allowing our awareness to become aware of the complete being that exists. It's not a limitation. It releases us from the limitation of being in the physical body. Because we still hold all 12 in this meditation, we are still grounded to the earth. And I caution anyone who were to meditate on only 1, 8, or the 8th chakra, or 9th chakra, or 10th chakra, or 11th, but 12 by itself. Because they are, and I caution you truly, It is so strong that it could pull you out to the point that you choose never to come back to the physical body. It is that strong by itself. So I truly caution anybody who wants to try to do that. It is serious. I barely made it back. And I had to, I did it once. And I had to use everything inside of me to return to the earth. It was that strong. But in meditating, in opening our minds to the 12 chakras, we have the anchor in the earth, and we also have the infinite at the top. An infinite that we don't yet not necessarily understand, but that we can become aware of and allow it to guide the meditation. Did anybody have any experiences with that? Yes. Right. It was. She describes it as like a conveyor belt that was pouring out this colored sand on top of her at every level of it. Anybody else? My own experience when I do this is that it quickly just moves me up, and I can feel myself rising. Which is different for me in the seventh chakra, in the normal meditation we do. And I offer this meditation really as a kind of a way to become more aware of our more complete being. I mean, here we are in seventh chakras, but there's way more to us than what's existing inside this physical body. The physical body eventually will develop an eighth chakra physical manifestation, but that's many, many, many years in evolutionary steps yet to happen. We won't see it in our lifetime. Yes?
I can get into the meditation very long.
Right.
A little bit I had when you say imagine right there. The magic, I mean, you say where. First I kind of saw up here, but then I saw them just the shepherds were coming up, coming back down here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, completing a circle. She saw them in front of her, completing a circle of the shepherd's circle. Yes. That's a good image for it. And, you know, it was a short meditation, but I find that the 12 chakra meditation can be a very powerful meditation very quickly. We have our traditional ways of meditating, and that's you know, worth doing. But in just a few minutes, we had a very short meditation that has the potential for taking us somewhere very quickly. But the thing to remember is allow the higher chakras to guide it. Or allow the 12 chakras to guide it, maybe, rather. Wink, what was your experience?
Oh. Pentagram.
Yeah.
Head. Arms.
Mm-hmm. Legs. Right. Yeah. Same experience. The head, the arms, and the two legs. Yeah. My first experience was kind of like, if you see these bars over at the roof, each of the five was a different curve, and the last one was straight across for me, the top one, which to me meant infinity. Anyone else? Marlene? Okay. If you want to try that, I do recommend it, but again, allow the 12 chakras to do the guiding.
December 21st event.
Yes.
That happens.
Okay. December 21st event.
Yes.
Go ahead.
It's been happening for 5,000 years.
Okay.
There's a mound, a huge mound. There's three of them, just 40 miles north of Dublin.
Dublin, Ireland.
Dublin, Ireland. It's penetrated by a tunnel that goes to the center, which has carved stone around it. And there's three of them together. The one that's called Moongrange, on the five days window, mm-hmm. on the 21st of December, that's the one day, or the 5 days of the year, that the tunnel leading from the outside to the center is illuminated by the rising sun.
Here's another event that's going to happen on the 21st. And I want to mention something. Surely this may answer something for you too. What's going to happen on the 22nd? It is important to allow our minds to be open, because we cannot evolve ourselves. That which is coming in to help lift us up will lift us up in ways that we don't even imagine. However, go ahead and use your imagination. Imagine what it would be like. And then, but keep your minds open, because this is important, to keep the minds open. As I was listening to Wink describe the event in Dublin, what was going through my mind was, I wonder what's going to happen. Which tells me that there's levels yet that I'm not even aware of. Newgrange.com. Can you... Was constructed over 5,000 years ago. Older than Stonehenge.
Describe again what happened.
It's in Dublin, Ireland. We still have a few more minutes, so I want to touch on something else as well. Okay. Newgrange.com. So there'll be more information there. I do want to, we still have a little bit of time, I still want to go over another aspect of the 2012 process. Any last comments or questions so far? Okay. I'm going to talk about karma a little bit before we end the session. We tend to think of karma as a balancing weights scale, you know, where you have the scale in the center and the bar across with the bowls on both sides. We tend to think of karma as that way. But we don't necessarily understand the process of karma. How does karma work? What's the mechanism of karma? How does, you put something out and you get it back. How does that work? Well, to take the black box out of the picture, we have to go back to consciousness. Well, what is consciousness? Consciousness, what is consciousness doing in our existence? We're creating. So what we have, Jesus said, what you sow, you shall reap. We turn that into a balancing scale, cause and effect. But what he is talking about is the process of planting a seed. Has anybody ever planted a seed of any kind whatsoever?
Sure.
And the next day, did it all of a sudden appear that that you had whatever fruit or vegetable that was there. You don't know how it happened, but it was, there was one, the cause. You planted the seed, the next day there were tomatoes. You don't know how it happened.
No,
we know what happens. That seed opens up, creates a plant. That plant flowers. Those flowers get pollinated by bees, and those flowers then produce fruit. That is the creation process. That is karma. Karma is creation. It is what we create for others. We create for all. We create. We plant that tomato seed. We're creating a plant for anybody. We harvest it ourselves in our own garden. But that plant is available to everybody. We create it. How is it that it happens to us then if we're in the military and we capture slaves, then 26,000 years later we are enslaved? Because we carry that creation. We are consciousness. We create in our own consciousness. We may create an experience for somebody else, but that once we create that, it is us. It is our part of ourself. And so when balance, it comes time to balance that, and it comes an opportunity and the surroundings and the environment where that balancing can happen. Soil. The balancing then happens. We call it a balancing. That's still the scale. But the creation of the fruit, we pick that fruit. When we create, plant that seed, there is the growth, there's the creation. What we create for one, we create for all. That's karma. There's no black box of what goes around comes around. What we create, and this is simple creation. There's no judgment to it at all. If we plant poison ivy seeds, we'll get poison ivy. There's no judgment. Poison ivy isn't evil. It's not fun. It's painful and itching, but it's not evil. But there is creation. So we take that poison ivy seed and give it to a friend.
Some friend.
Yeah. Yes. In essence, what does it do to the relationship? It's now infected with poison ivy. So what we've created for them, we've created for our own experience as well. That's karma. So whatever we're creating for others, we're creating for ourselves. Beverly. On spark? What do you mean spark? Oh, the sparkling children. Okay. And the non-sparking children. That's the rumor going around. The non-sparking children are basically the ones that have been saying no. And the sparkling children are the ones that keep saying yes. Now, this is not necessarily what I'm talking about. You know, we go home and there's going to be a moment where we stub our toe and say no. Or we're going to get angry at somebody and we choose not to act spiritually at them in the moment. That's not what this is about. This is more a consciousness of an individual whose life is dedicated, and so lifetime after lifetime is dedicated to me first, always. And I care nothing about somebody else. And there are souls that exist that way.
So that means there's going to be a bunch of sociopaths?
There already are a bunch of sociopaths.
Yeah, true.
Everybody,
more,
yeah.
More.
It simply depends on those souls that are allowed to come into their planet for their good and for their evolution. Remember, these souls are not abandoned. they still have evolution, but where when we connect to that tuning, high tuning fork, we may go through two or three lifetimes to get at a higher level. They're going to take 50 million years, if they keep saying no, to get to that level. Evolution does not stop for them. What they create will not stop for them. And it is possible, and we've done it too, to learn through suffering and pain. If we create suffering and pain for others, if we consider at some level that suffering and pain is good enough for them, for me to teach them how to something, teach them a lesson, then it's going to be good enough for us to learn a lesson. So that is the principle behind that. Does that answer your question? Yes.
So do they still have the ability to change their minds if they say yes?
In a moment. Just like that. When they say yes, boom. That's how fast God reacts to them. They say yes, it's it. 10 million years from now, if they say yes, it's done. There's no time that passes in between their saying yes and it happening. They are on the path. When they say yes, that's it. And it may take 50 million years or 100 million years or 4 billion years for them to make this choice. But we have eternity, so I guess there's plenty of time. Yes. Yes. Yes, those that in it's actually not, well, let me back up. That's the beginning process, obviously, of the 22nd. Won't, the question was, aren't they going to experience the improvement?
No, aren't they going to interfere with the improvement?
Oh, aren't they, is their vibration going to impact the world as well? Well, right. Yeah, what they have to contribute to the world or give to the world will impact as well. Exactly. That's not going to change from now. I mean, everybody that is born into the earth now impacts the earth in some way. But there's no stopping this evolutionary path. Remember that we're on this change that's happening and beginning, this incline out of the earth. There's no stopping it. It's supported by the galaxy. And I don't know too many people who can push against the galaxy. Right. Right. The spark of Christ that is in them steps back. That's the best metaphor I can offer for that. And allows them to live their life, making the choices they make. But they are, again, they're not free from the laws that are relevant.
But the spark is still there.
The spark exists with them. But it is, they've been, well, those that say no, it could be that they've been saying no since creation began. Because they had free will. There are souls, that there are spirits. We're not talking about humans until they manifest and are born as humans. And so what we see reflected in the human existence is happening at the non-human existence as well. It is true, as above, so below. This choice in human, in the earth, is simply a reflection of this, what happens at the spiritual level. And I'm not saying that there are souls that are... I'm saying this is related to the... This is, it's related to the earth, but it's not related to the earth. The influence of the Christ, reaching out to the Christ. Well, yeah. So, good.
But I don't see how it should be different than that.
Exactly. It's not any different. But because we are now in the incline, it creates an opportunity for those souls who are ready to move forward. It creates an opportunity, yes. For those who have been saying yes, it creates an opportunity for an open door for us to move forward. Many have been saying that there's going to be two Earths. And in essence, that's basically what we're creating. A higher level Earth, but still having lower level vibrations existing in it, but both existing in the sense of light. I mean, it's possible. It is possible. I mean, I don't have time to explain how it's possible, but because we're running out of time. Yes? The City of Light is... Yes. What this is all about, the City of Light. And I'll be quick about this. Let's see. I had a dream. I was driving down a road, and a shell road, and I came to a T in the road. And I looked across the fence, and I saw the construction equipment, and they were building a City of Light. And I realized this is the consciousness level that we're building. City of Light. It's a metaphor, symbol for the levels of consciousness that we're building. The higher vibrations that we're bringing into the greater light that is coming forth into this time period.
Is that the Great Light Island? Great Light Island?
Yeah, that too. But it's not a physical event. It is not a physical thing.
No, it's not.
This is consciousness. The light of consciousness. Okay, Clara. Yeah. What time is it?
It's 3:24.
Okay. Last question. Consciousness makes no distinction between anyone who chooses it. The higher consciousness is available to them. So it's simply a matter for whoever's willing. And willingness to be open to, willingness to say yes, willingness to reach out. Willingness is everything. Nothing happens without willingness. So those spirits and souls, not just human, but all souls at all levels, all spirits at all levels. Okay. Okay. Thank you.